Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Hebrews 4 and 2 Samuel 18. Well, that's kind of other ends of the spectrum there, but the part in Hebrews scripturally preceded what the account that it's given here preceded what I'm going to read in 2 Samuel 18. I'm pretty sure it's 18. Yeah, 18. And then, let me read one verse and pray, and then I'll try to get this in context here and share with you what the Lord gave me today. Hebrews 4 and 8 said, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" That's what I want to preach on tonight, another day. Father, I love you, and I thank you for letting us be here. You have given us another day. You've blessed us in this house. These good people have come out on a stormy, rainy night, Lord. And we pray that you'd feed them with your word. I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of this holy writ. I can't do a thing without you, but I can do all things through you. God, just come to try to encourage your people tonight, on this night. Let me be a help, Lord. Somebody, somewhere, Lord, in this sanctuary, or someone watching via internet, God, who knows who this is directed to, but you know. So help us, and what we do, be glorified in it. I'll praise you now and forever, and ask it in the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Let me begin in verse 1 of this. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Some disagree with that, but it sounds like him to me. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us. This is coming. You know that men put the chapters in here, the numbers. So really, this is a continuation from 3 concerning Moses in the wilderness. And they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. Then let us therefore, he's speaking to Christians, brothers and sisters, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I'm afraid there's many that aren't resting in the Lord today. Now, this is what Wiersbe used, and I like it, so I'm going to use it tonight. There's salvation rest. Those of us that are here and saved tonight, we have that. There's no need for us to fear death. We've got to pass through that valley to get to the other side, but we have that salvation rest tonight. But he's more specifically speaking here of submission rest. When you are submitted unto God, you're not just walking in the permissive will, but you're seeking the perfect will of God. You're looking to do that thing that God's called you to do. You're looking to be in that place God's told you to be. It's the vineyard we're looking for. We're going to find rest in that. Some are still trying to serve, not do anything on a Sabbath. Hey, listen, the Sabbath was Saturday. Bunch of Sabbath. They don't even know what they're talking about. The Sabbath was... Why do we celebrate the first day of the week? Hallelujah, it's resurrection morning, that's why. Now, so he's saying they just couldn't... He don't want them to come short of it, but many have come short of the rest. Listen, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Listen, Brother Danny lit my fuse yesterday up at the pantry, preaching on, oh, what a Savior, saved by grace through faith. My, it helped me. And you've got to have faith. The grace of God has appeared to every man, and it teaches us some things also. But without the faith, and he's given to every man the measure of faith, but you've got to do something with it. Amen. Say, I don't have to do anything to be saved. You got to believe to be saved. You got to believe. How do you do that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the A+. For we which have believed do enter into rest. There's the salvation. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the, look, watch this, the foundation of the world. So that rest was in the garden from the foundation of the world. Are you with me? You haven't fallen off on me here, have you? From the foundation of the world, that means from the very beginning, amen, that's the first thing it's laid, the foundation. Amen. And that rest was available. They had that rest in the garden, and then they messed the rest up. Do we not do the same thing? For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. God didn't need rest. That means he stopped. He never got tired. He didn't have to rest like we need rest. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of, here we go again, here's why there's no rest. You know, they say there's no rest for the wicked. That's right. Amen. That's scriptural. Unbelief. Are you still with me? Because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day. Saying is that in David. Should we all go to the bathroom or what? You know, I could tell that just by listening. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David. Who's he speaking through? David. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, this is not Christ right here. This is the Greek form of Joshua, Yeshua. It's, if it was Jesus, if it was Christ, it'd have that designated as such. It's the Greek form of Joshua, because take it in context of who we've just been talking about. Jesus hadn't been born as a man in this period of time. That's how we know this is not the Christ. Amen? You still with me? For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Would he not talk about another day? Would they have needed another day? Now, hold that in mind. Go with me to 2 Samuel. And I hope this isn't too confusing tonight. Sometimes I get things and I understand it myself, but to explain it, I have great difficulty. I hope this will help you tonight. This is as simplistic as I know how to say it, and as I understand it, Brother David, it is this. We've got another day. It don't matter. It does. Jimmy, I seen the light bulb go off. It doesn't matter if I fall over right here, right now. I have a... We're getting on the same page. Now let's look back. This, in 2 Samuel 18, is post what I just read you occurred in the wilderness. Joshua bringing them into rest. They didn't have rest because of their unbelief. Even though that was in the New Testament. Now we're going to jump back in 2 Samuel. And this happened after that in Hebrews. Are you with me? Then said Ahimaaz. Now they say that pronounced is different than that. But that's how, when my eye falls on it. Ahimaaz is how I see it and say it. The son of Zadok. Let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now, this is the time when Absalom has come against his father David. And as I studied this today, Danny, I don't know. Some of you may have seen this many a time. But when I shared it with my son, Dusty said, I didn't notice that. So I run it by him to kind of check up on myself. So we have here with this in this story, we have Absalom whom had come against the king. But I see in Absalom here something I'd never really considered before. I see types of Christ. Now I know what you're thinking. He is the rebellious son. Jesus never rebelled. He done against the will of the Father, and Jesus done the will of the Father. But I want us to look at something. Consider this. You know who Absalom was? He was the son of the sovereign. Absalom was the son of the sovereign. And in all rights, David may have wanted him to be king. Those of us who have sons, here's what we want. We want better for him than we do for ourselves. It's just how it is. Listen, or even children, we'll say for our children, we want better for them. He was the son of the sovereign. Joab said, I'd give you silver if you killed him. Jesus was sold for silver. Look here. He was hung in a tree. Now we, in Sunday school, they showed him with a big long head of hair. He's hanging there in that oak tree by his hair. But it said it's by his head. He's going through the heavy bushes. The hair probably helped contribute to the fact. But he's hung up by his head. He can't do anything. He's hung on a tree. He's not only hung on a tree, but the Bible said that he's hung between heaven and earth. We know somebody else that said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Hey, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, he's got to be lifted up between the heaven and the earth. There he was on the cross. But that's not only these five of these that I found, but in verse 33 in this chapter, we see the sorrow. We see the sorrow of the father. You know what happens when the news comes his way? He doesn't ask how the army does. He asks about his son. He's just sent his army out to squash this rebellion from the son. You know what killed the son? S-I-N. That's why Absalom died. You know why Jesus died? S-I-N. Don't forget, I is right in the middle of sin right there. Jesus died because of sin. Absalom died because of sin. Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, it was sin that hung him on the tree. I see some types of that. They sold him for silver. He was the only begotten son of the sovereign. Hey, there he is. And he died. And even though Isaiah 53 says in verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it didn't mean that it made him happy. That's what it means, that's what it took to satisfy God. Tell me the father wasn't sad, sorrowful. You know we can grieve the heart of God. You know, God talks about his heart. God can be grieved. When we grieve the Holy Spirit or quench it, we grieve God. There it is, grieving. You think God, the Spirit himself, wasn't grieved upon the death of the only begotten Son of God? I would to God that I'd die long before my son ever approaches that day. Some of my dearest friends have had to bury their children. And I can't imagine that pain. And how much, if a mortal man sorrows at the passing of a child, how much more the sovereign God of glory looked down upon the Lamb of God. There he was, crucified, hung on a tree. They paid silver for him, and he gave it back, and he shed his blood, and he done it for everybody in this room, and everybody on the screen, and everyone, every born on this earth. He died. You know why? So I could have another day. So I could have another day. He told Ahimaaz, he said, you can't go today. Ahimaaz means this. Ahimaaz means this. His name means brother of anger. When Jesus came to the Jews, his own, they received him not. You know what the majority of them was toward him? Angry. You think this isn't a picture of that on down the road? Something's going to happen. And you can't tell them today. But then he goes and tells them. After Joab sends Cushai, then Ahimaaz says this. He says, let me go. Go ahead. And he outruns Cushai. He's faster than he is. He goes a different way. And he gets there, but here's what he has when he gets there. He gives a false report. Because he's asking about the son. He said, all is well. You know what the Jews said when Jesus showed up? We don't need you. Hey, you know what they're worried about? They'll take our position away. The Romans will take our positions away. Hey, what are we going to do? We don't need him. Why? Because all is well. It's all going just fine. Why do we need him? Because he's the Savior. That's why we need him. Listen, you know what the world, you know what the false religions of the world saying today? All is well. Wrong report. It's not well. Oh, it was well for the army of Israel, but it wasn't well with what David wasn't looking for that report. He's asking about his son. He said, well, there's a commotion going on, and really, I don't really know. I'm not sure. I can't tell. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I couldn't tell. Oh, Cushai showed up and said, hey. Said, here's what happened. All the enemies are dead, and the son's dead. He's the same as the enemies are. Dead. He's given the right report. He died for sin. Here's the report tonight. We have another day. Though we have the day of Hebrews, when we have that day of rest, we have days of rest. We have days of chaos. In Genesis 1, I'll throw three little days at you in a hurry right here, and I'll be done. Because here's the truth of a matter. The Christian always has another day. Always. It don't matter how dark the sky is, what kind of storm comes, what you're facing, what you're going through. Hey, it's by the word of God, I have another day. I'm not going to stay in this day. There's another day coming. I want us to consider the first day, Genesis 1 and 5. The Bible said, and God called the light day, he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This thing began, there was a first day. That creation is much like our lives. April the 20th, 1961 at Cumberland Medical Center, when it is about as big as this sanctuary is. They took me in there, and some doctor delivered me, and I was born. I think his name was Seton. I don't know how I remember that, but it was Dr. Seton delivered me. I was born, and my daddy probably smoked a carton of Lucky Strikes waiting on me to be born, and I was born, and there I was, and here I am today, 58 years later. You know what? And that, what was that day? April the 20th, 1961. That was my first day. But I believe from the foundation of the world, God looked down through the portals of time. I'm not preaching predestination tonight. Don't get me wrong. I'm a whosoever will guy. You'll never talk me out of that. Can't change my mind on that. I'm a whosoever. But God knows them at will. He knows them at won't. And down through the portals of time, God's looking. And he knew how many days I was going to have. According to Job, he said, my days are, you've determined my days, my number of my months is with you, and have set my bounds that I cannot pass. There it is. Here's how many you got, bud. But when them days run out, why would they run out? Because of Genesis 3:17, he cursed the ground because of the sin of man. Now we're back to somebody dying for the sin of the world. That'd be me. First day. Now some don't get a lot of days after the first day. And I don't have the mind of God. I don't understand why babies get sick and die. I don't understand. My brother's little girl was 6 weeks old. Amanda, was that right, Pat? 6 weeks. 6 weeks old, and she died. She developed some kind of respiratory thing and she died. Trent told me just the other day, he and I was speaking. He said, there's still times that I just go out and sit down in the woods and cry. He said, I never got over it. He said, especially when I see people with little girls running around. And he's got two boys, but they're not that little girl. She didn't get many days. But she got another day. Amen. She got another day. So there's days. Our first day in our creation, and then you can count on it through the curse. Here's what we have. We have few days, and they're troubled. Job 14:1, again in Job 14, there we have, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. You can know that. None are exempt. Just keep living. You ever see these people and it looks like nothing's ever going to happen to them? They don't have any flaws or things. Just keep watching them. Hey, they're going to come to that place in the road one of these days, and that little wheel's going to run off their cart just like it did yours. Amen. God's no respecter of person, and I'm telling you, trouble comes our way in this life. Sure. Yes, sir. Some now, it's like the rest. We can have more rest than we have when we're in that submissive will of God. But when we're just rolling along, a lot of times we bring a lot of the trouble on ourselves. If it's contrary to this book, you better know the way of the transgressor is hard. It just is. Transgress is one that knows it and doesn't do it. Anybody been guilty? So there's few days. But in Revelation 22:5, the Bible said, there shall be no night there. You know what that is? The final day. Right now I have another day. And should time tarry, I don't know how many days I have left. You don't know how many you have left. I guess all these funerals have got to my heart in this place, and I'm wanting out of it. We may have some more to go. And if when when understand this, when we go to heaven and come back in the and for the millennial kingdom, that's what it's going to be. There's going to be a kingdom. He's going to reign and rule. There's going to be days. See, it's not heaven on earth. It's going to be real good for the saved. Do you understand that? But it's going to be his kingdom. But that's why he's got to rule it with a rod of iron. Because really, the perfect kingdom is when you can only happen with a perfect dictator. A dictatorship is really the way to go if he's perfect. But there's only one that's going to do that. And when he sets up the kingdom, he's perfect in all he does. And so everything about that's going to be perfect. And there's going to be a lot of days within 1,000 years. Can I get an amen right there? But one of these days, he makes a new heaven and a new earth. I'm trying to help us get straightened out on this. That this thing isn't just bang, done, one, we're off in heaven, it's over. Do you understand that in heaven tonight, they're not in a glorified body yet? They're not, scripturally. But they're going to be. When he shall appear, we shall. Voila! How is he in a glorified body? No blood, but flesh and bone. I don't understand that, but that's what it says. What's the corruptible part of man today? The blood. But when that's over, Brother Johnny, scripturally, according to the Bible, when that's over, in Revelation 22, heaven's new, earth's new, all new. One day. Final day. No night there. That's going to be a good day. It's going to be good when the horn sounds and he carries the bride home. That's going to be a good day. And so, according to Paul in Thessalonians 4, and so shall we ever be at the Lord, his earliest of letters. So shall we ever be at the Lord. Let's not be confused with that. It's not going to be out here hid somewhere, and it not says, so shall we ever be with the Lord through that 7-year period, through that 1,000-year reign, and in that final day. When I get there, Brother Alec, I'm not going to need another day. Why? Because of that king that died. Now I know Absalom isn't the perfect picture of Christ, but there's a lot of types of him in that death of the prince. And he said, talk about it on another day. Come get us all. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. Brother Jenny's asked us to anoint him tonight. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the time of truth.